and I went away. Got home and I watched it up. Then it was on to the next one, the next one. Tell me what's on my TiVo. Oh no, oh no. You gotta find out, but first you gotta stand back burrito. Oh no, oh no. Tell me what's on my TiVo. Oh no, oh no. I wanna record it, go home and watch it with Frito. Oh no, oh no.
Sponsor?
Yes, Dan. It's brought to you by the Granada Theater, presenting Reckless Kelly on October 21st.
All right. Here's lots on our TiVo. Tons, in fact. What's the new one? Homeland?
Yes.
I've heard a lot about.
I believe Uncle Barky came in here raving about that. I've watched the first two episodes, and it's awesome.
Really?
It's okay. It's a must watch, I think.
You guys better stay on point.
Right. Because I wanted to just say that we're not going to be able to talk about Homeland and everything else.
That was just quick. I'm sorry.
Because...
Do it quicker.
It is time for Breaking Bad talk. The Breaking Bad season finale occurred. Hold on, Uncle Tio. There are 16 episodes left. I don't know what we're going to do with those, but I feel like the bar that was raised this season cannot be exceeded. We will have no choice but to be a little bit down about the final season because this year, I mean, it kept raising it a little higher and a little higher and a little higher, and I felt like just kept going right through the final episode. Nailed it.
It's a remarkable show, and what makes it most remarkable is it has so twisted the moral fabric of how TV shows are supposed to work. In 1 year, that's how much actual time is supposed to have passed since season one to season four. I guess actual time, does that make sense what I mean there? In Walter White's life.
Yeah.
Less than a year. He has gone from innocent, kind of clueless chemistry teacher who has cancer to one of the greatest villains in TV history.
Two jobs, working two jobs just to make it.
And in a way that's totally exceeded what Tony Soprano did for the cheer for the bad guy kind of dynamic of television. Maybe was that sort of the tipping point on how did Tony Soprano become the first bad guy you wanted to see have find success? And then Detective Mackey and various other shows have tried to further that just a little bit and push the envelope. Where you kind of want to see the bad guy win, and you're cheering for the bad guy who seems to have no moral fabric.
Bad guy to start.
But Walter White was just an innocent guy who broke bad.
You saw him. Yeah, you've seen the transformation.
But then within that show, you get Gus, and you cheer for him also, and he's a bad guy.
Yeah, how they made us all kind of pull for Gus this season is really remarkable.
Right. Because of his backstory made him
likable.
A bit sympathetic. I thought he was pretty likable before, too. Just the... Seems like a solid... The regular businessman who secretly is a drug kingpin.
But they just
I like that angle.
All these little reminders of how vicious he is.
Oh, yeah, like when you slash someone's throat in front of everybody. And, that's a little reminder.
And then just, you know, put it back to him being a sympathetic figure.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, it all ended Sunday, and if you don't know by now, spoiler alerts are about to be up in your face. And I guess we've gone full-blown Heisenberg, where now we know that Walt has no friends in the world except saving his own bacon, and he even knows that's about to run out, but he doesn't really care about his family. He certainly doesn't care about Jesse. Doesn't seem to care a whole lot about the money. It's now just about winning. And what that means, I suppose, can be twisted so many ways. I think you should read Seppenwall. If you don't by now, you should probably Google Alex Seppenwall's review.
I haven't read him at all.
Seppenwall is great.
You don't read him after each episode?
No.
That's the first thing I go. That's the first place I go after the episode.
Yeah. I write my own recap.
Well, Alan Seppenwall writes a better one.
Mm.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, having not read your recap, your meh recaps, No, it was unbelievable. It was really, really good.
No, he goes in depth on things. I know. I used to read him after every Wire.
Well, and he reveals a lot of things. There's a lot of layers to these shows, and I found that out when I ran into Mike and Corby on Monday, and they had no idea the biggest payoff of the episode, and it eluded them.
I thought
at the end.
I almost thought that was a little too connect the dots. I guess not.
The Lily of the Valley payoff.
I didn't see it coming because I had an Adrian Beltre moment when they zoomed in on the plant.
I saw it coming just because they thought...
What's a Beltre moment? Oh, really? Okay. All right.
But you saw that it happened then.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as they zoomed
There's
in...
There's no reason they're having all that dialogue.
We told Mike and Corby.
Right. Corby had no idea.
And Mike's like, really?
But... I mean, that's Heisenberg that's can come up with a scheme like that.
Don't look at your iPhone during Breaking Bad.
You know, Heisenberg develops that scheme. Walter White doesn't.
Yeah, there's a good recap on YouTube of someone who put together the penultimate episode and explained why Walt was the one who poisoned little Brock before this last episode came out. I just got to it last night, and I tweeted it last night, so you can find it on my feed at Sports Term. But he actually connected the dots with pieces from the episode in the second to last episode, and it's quite revealing.
Well, TC was telling us the second to last episode when he's spinning the gun around.
Yeah,
a couple times. I guess his third spin. It points right at that plant?
Yeah. The thing on YouTube, though, starts there, but then starts looking at other things in the episode, including how the switcheroo with the packs of cigarettes and all the things went down, and why Saul was calling Jesse's cell phone 6 times, and just all these different details.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's worth seeing.
What, you tweeted it, you said?
Yeah.
I'll look at your feed. But, yeah, it's just... A genius year. The only, let's see, I always like to find a couple little things. The Beneke dying thing was a little weird and convenient, but I suppose.
It's a little weak.
But you needed the money trail.
Well, you needed Walt to lose his money.
Yeah. I found it odd that Walt could find out that the killing went well, where he had Uncle Tio, came to Uncle Tio with his plan. Uncle Tio would detonate the bomb.
Brilliant. I loved it. I loved Uncle Tio with the DEA as he's spelling out all the words. They're getting annoyed at him. And I love when he gets back to the room, Walt asks him, "Do you have any second thoughts on this?" Or what was the exact phrase?
Do you have any second thoughts?
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Okay. And then I guess I didn't totally see it coming.
No, I didn't know how.
I was waiting for Walt to
jump out of the bathroom. Yeah,
you knew they were trying to set him up to be somewhere that he wouldn't be protected and everything. But
your job on the ENCO yesterday was very good when you guys were talking about that, by the way.
I know.
That was very nice.
What was that?
It was just the bell and an explosion, and it was on very short notice, and I wanted to congratulate Groobs.
Aw.
But
glad to have you back.
So
did it on the wrong show, but everything else was perfect.
So when Walt is sitting in his car, he's listening to a radio station that, and he ended up getting confirmed that a killing happened. I just found it odd that a station that would tease Aerosmith and Def Leppard coming up next,
right,
would go into that.
Would
no
have
doubt.
Sat there and had a 2-minute conversation.
A rare
about
news,
a
classic rock.
Thought the same thing, yeah. Right?
I thought, okay, if he was listening to the local AM news station, perhaps, but
that's a smaller market. They have hybrid format.
There's no way we'd roll that out on the bone. Wouldn't even care.
After
if
traffic
you had,
weather,
Skid Row,
right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Now, looking forward is. Like you said, is money out of the equation? Like, it's not even about making money and all that now? It's just that...
Well, it might be now. Now that his adversaries are down. He can be the biggest kingpin in Albuquerque if he wants. He can create a new lab. He can run it all.
It takes money to create it, though.
And there's going to be other drug entities that are going to look to move in to take over this vacuum that's created.
Yeah, there's a lot... There's a lot that they can do in 16 episodes, not the least of which is that Jesse's going to find out that Walt secretly hates him, and they can square off.
There are still looming out there the fact that Walt, with Jesse's girlfriend,
right,
killed her two right. years ago or seasons.
Just didn't save her. He didn't kill her. He just didn't do anything
right.
to stop it.
He allowed her to die.
Right.
And that was like one of the initial steps in his transformation, I guess. Like, he was never a guy that would even allow that to happen in the past. Now he's shooting guns right in people's chests. That and, of course, the kid.
Bro.
The whole kid storyline. Somewhere down the line.
Did you know Lily of the Valley? At least YouTube taught me this. It may be wrong. It doesn't affect adults. Like, it doesn't have a poisonous effect on adults. It's more of a kid's thing.
And is it not fatal? Because clearly I don't believe it.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think Walt would have wanted to kill the kid,
again,
but obviously...
I'm relying on a guy who put up a post on YouTube using Wikipedia passages and things.
But obviously he thought he wanted the kid to get sick and to make everybody think...
That Gus...
But if the kid has to go to save Walt, then he doesn't give a rip about that.
So he had Saul get him over there just to get that cigarette out of the pack, and
yeah,
that's it?
Yeah.
Just that was the whole goal?
Just be patted down by the big brother. Great stuff, man.
Pretty quick, taking that little cigarette out of the pack.
He patted him down for like 5 seconds because Jesse was struggling with him. Remember that?
Okay.
I'm not saying it would be easy to do. I'm just saying if you go back and look at that scene, the big brother's patting him down for quite a while, and Jesse's getting quite agitated.
That was a nice send-off for Gus to let him walk out, straighten himself up to be the straight guy that he is.
Yeah, I don't know if I needed that.
Bails out.
That was a little cartoony.
That was
very
a little cartoony.
Very Coyote.
Yeah. Yes, it was Wile E. Coyote holding up the sign that said,
"Oh, I'm a goner."
Yeah.
Did you see the photo of the comparison of Gus's face and the doll from season one?
Yeah.
The charred doll, they look exactly the same.
That was floating in the pool after the plane crash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The faces look just the same, charred on the same side.
I don't want to place this on our Mount Rushmore of TV shows and rate them against the other classics because we're living in the moment and you gotta let them finish this thing. But man, for 4 seasons of morally void television that just has you on the edge of your seat.
But that was the best season
it's
ever.
Great.
That season right there just stepped up his game after every episode.
Oh, yeah.
You think it couldn't?
It was
just
pedal down the
moments,
whole way.
Shocking must see.
Tense,
on the edge of your
more
seat
tense,
moments.
More tense. You just think it'll level off it for a minute, and it didn't.
I guess, too, the genius is that I don't think we all knew what they knew going in about their whole goal in the beginning was the transformation of Walter White.
Yeah.
We
had no idea where we were going on this trip.
Right. We just knew it was...
this bumbling chemistry teacher.
Yeah.
In an RV in his underpants.
Who is actually transforming into a kingpin.
By the way,
drug kingpin.
As one guy points out, and as we failed to mention, but certainly are aware of, Mike is still healing down in Mexico, and he could get back into this thing. Mike, the cleaner.
He's going to have to work for Heisenberg now.
I don't know. I have no idea what tentacles they'll come up with what other cartel in Mexico or Honduras or who knows where needs revenge on Walt for what he did to the whole gang.
Still got a Hank out there, too.
And what? Yeah.
Yeah, you still have Hank and
the cancer.
Now the Lavanderia is now all blown up, and so Hank has to find a new thread to follow. And the cancer.
The car wash.
It's got to come back.
The car wash is going to become the super lab.
And Skyler. Where's Skyler in all this? And where's Flynn? Blue. Where's Flynn in all this? They stopped calling him Flynn, like, mid-season 3, and they're just acting like they never did that.
I thought he just...
Is that a phase he just grew
out of? I thought it was just in season 1 they did that.
Did he peel out of that? All right.
Because then he Flynn. Respected his dad or something.
Remember
right?
He wanted to be called Flynn?
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was all... I thought it also tied in... Maybe this was a... I would have thought Steppenwolf would have been on something like this. They tied into his relationship with his dad, and at first he didn't want to be Walt Jr., and then as his dad transformed out of this meekness that he was, I thought then they bonded a little as the cancer and him with the website and all that kind of stuff.
They had that big conversation late in this season, too, when Walt was talking about his father
yeah.
and how
yeah.
ashamed he was.
Well, they'll figure it out, but we better get moving here. So Breaking Bad, A++, I'm told. All right, it's 209.